In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Congratulations on the Feast of St. Peter and Paul, which ends the fast of St. Peter and Paul. Although today, being a Wednesday, we get to keep the fast for one more day effectively, but you can go and get really nice fish today to celebrate the feast. But sometimes people will ask, why do we have an Apostles' Fast? There are other more important feasts in the church year that are not preceded by a fast. For example, we don't have a fast before the Feast of the Nativity of the Theotokos, which is the first great feast of the church year. Well, the reason why we fast at this particular time of the year is because in the Gospels, Christ was asked, why do your disciples not fast, like the disciples of St. John the Baptist? And his answer was, well, while the bridegroom is together with them, the friends of the bridegroom are not going to fast, but when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast. And so after we've completed the 40 days of Pascha, commemorated the Ascension, and then concluded with the Feast of Pentecost, and then have the final day of the Pentecostari and the Feast of All Saints, then we go into this period of fasting every year, which we conclude on this day. And this is not one of the 12 great feasts, but it's a commemoration of the two greatest of the apostles who did so much to establish the church. This morning we heard from the Epistle of St. Paul. Last night during the vigil we heard three readings from the Epistles of St. Peter. Now normally when we do readings at Vespers, they're Old Testament readings, and if you were paying attention, You would notice that normally when we do Old Testament readings, the doors are shut at that point. But for the Feast of the Apostles and for some other saints, we read from the New Testament at Vespers. And when we read from the New Testament, the doors are open because in the New Testament, the doors of the kingdom are open wide for all. And in the second reading, St. Peter tells us about what it means to be a Christian and why we should live a holy life. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The phrase, gird up your loins, is one that doesn't have a lot of meaning in our culture, but in ancient times when people wore robes, if they wanted to do something like run, or if they wanted to engage in certain kinds of work that required the free use of their legs and being unencumbered by robes, they would reach up and grab the backs of their robes and they would pull them up and they would tuck them into their belt. And that way they could run fast without tripping over their robes. And so what St. Peter is saying here is that we need to prepare our minds for work and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought at the end. In other words, when Christ returns, we know that that will be the ultimate salvation of those that love the Lord, and that's what we're working towards, but we have to be on guard. We have to be ready to work. And he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, if you have heard me talk about translations of Scripture, you know that I think the King James translation is an excellent translation, but that doesn't mean that there aren't some things that need to be updated. And so the reading that we had last night was a straight King James text, and so it had this phrase, be holy in all manner of conversation. But when you're reading the King James and you run across the word conversation, you have to understand that 400 and some odd years ago, the word conversation didn't just mean talking to someone else. It included that, but it included all your conduct. And so we would probably want to translate this now, be holy in every form of conduct, in every aspect of your life, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And it says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What he's saying here is if you really believe in God, as you say, this is the God who will judge every man's works without bias, then you should live your lives with a reverent fear. You should live your lives with God in your mind and your heart constantly, because if you really believe in God, that means it's going to affect the rest of your life. And then he goes on to explain why that is so. He says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation," which again, that would probably be translated your vain conduct, "received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." We were bought with a price. St. Paul talks about this also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he's talking about the gross immorality that was going on in the church of Corinth, and he's speaking against it. And he says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We have been bought and paid for by the Lord, and so we don't get to do just whatever we want to do. We have to live in accordance with the commandments that God has given us, and so we have to live in a Christian way. But we can't go back to the life of sin that Christ has delivered us from and paid for our freedom by his precious blood on the cross. Christ died on the cross. He was slain to pay the penalty of our disobedience, which we couldn't pay, and out of gratitude to him, we ought not to return to that kind of a life that we've been redeemed from, but instead live for him. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what the apostles taught. That's the faith that's been delivered unto us. And so it's our responsibility to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy. Amen.